Our scripture reading today is Romans 12, 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness.
Thank you, Naomi. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Naomi just read for us Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Yeah, somewhere in there. 1 through 12. 1 through 8, yeah. When I read that and I set it next to the story of Exodus, which the beginning, Exodus chapter 2, is Moses' birth narrative. When I set those two next to each other, I'm struck by the roles and responsibilities that come with each of the roles that people have. The idea that everyone has a role and that each role has a responsibility. Exodus chapter 2 talks about a time of Pharaoh being in charge. It's the start of Moses' life, and the midwives during that time were charged by Pharaoh with the duty to kill the baby boys. Kill all the baby boys. Pharaoh was afraid and spoke out of fear and gave a terrible assignment to those who were to foster the newness of life. And they didn't do what they were told. See, Pharaoh was afraid that the Hebrew people were getting too strong, too many in number, and that fear led him to do awful things. Our theme verse that Naomi shared with us from Exodus chapter 1, it talks about how God dealt with them directly, the midwives. So the midwives didn't listen to Pharaoh and knew there may be consequences, but the midwives feared God and therefore were willing to take whatever God was willing to give them as people who were being disobedient to Pharaoh. And it says in the Bible that God dealt with them directly. Did you hear the end of that verse? And because they feared God, they were given families, a prized possession in that time. This week we are reading from our lectionary, and if you were to follow the lectionary, the book of the agenda of scriptures to read over the next 3 weeks, you would hear about a lot of people being leaders. And sometimes it's people who you wouldn't expect to be a leader, the midwives, right? They were leading. The scriptures over the next 3 weeks talk about how a leader should behave or could behave in a way that shares in the responsibility of leadership. The leaders this week are those midwives, Shirafar and Pua. But I think the list of leaders also includes Miriam. Do you remember her? Moses' sister. Oh, she's really the star of those later verses in Exodus. She's the girl that could be credited with fostering the first recorded open adoption. Right? She found a new birth mom. She found an adoptive mom to care for a baby, and the birth mom got to walk alongside in that relationship. It's beautiful. The woman got to see her son live and to grow, even though it was in another's household. All of these women, these midwives, these Miriam, Moses' mother, Pharaoh's daughter, they acted with bravery. And they defied the expectation that was set for them. And dear friends, I have to tell you, that's where I struggle. I tend to follow the rules. It's my nature. I don't know if I'm just still afraid of getting in trouble or being called to the principal's office or if I'm paid one too many tickets in my day. I do go a few miles over the speed limit. That's a hard one to teach my children. They want to know why that number doesn't match that number. Whew. But I especially struggle when I feel like a rule is wrong or made with ill intent, when it's not life-giving. And I will tell you, as a parent, it's very, very challenging to do this aspect of parenting, for me anyway, especially when I have these moments of ambiguity in my life. It's difficult for me to teach another to have this reasonable thinking, this ability to make a good choice for themselves and the best choice for society, all the while knowing that they might be breaking the posted rules. So pray for me. The scripture in Exodus, if I read it with my present-day eyes, with my lens from today, I think that maybe they might be describing, these midwives might be more described today as whistleblowers. People who bravely see something that's wrong, that's happening, that's wrong, and have to find a way to not participate, to step aside and to stop an action. And I think about how brave you must be. And then we look at the text that Naomi shared with us, Romans 12, 1 through 8. And it's this text that I don't know about you, but I've heard my whole life. It was like the theme of my teenage years. I feel like it was brought up so often. And they even put it on t-shirts for us, right? So we could wear it and think about it every day, especially that transition into high school, knowing how difficult that was. Do not conform, but be transformed, for by grace, right? Do not conform, but be transformed. They would tell you that and then wish you luck in surviving high school. Yeah. The second part of that text, though, talks about how we're not giving in to those around you, how we can learn from society but not get stuck by society, not be stuck because of society. It speaks of, the next part speaks of our interconnectedness. Last week, Pastor Rich shared that there's this green light of life between us. Someone said they really loved that imagery. They hadn't thought of that before. We've gotten out a piece of string and passed it around and tied ourselves up in knots with it, right? To remember that our actions affect others. Our interconnectedness carries with it the responsibility of recognizing that each one of us is gifted. The midwives credited the Hebrew women with being gifted. Yeah, oh, read it. It says that these women and bearing these children, that the children were so strong and vigorous that the midwives who were trained to deliver babies could not get there fast enough to be present for every birth. That the responsibility of the surging power for life that was present was the power of God. And therefore, who were they to stop it? What a great image. That the surging power of life is that of God. And so who are we to stop it? This text is one that breathes power into the masses. The unnamed become named people. And the one who everybody knows his name, right? Pharaoh, isn't named in this text. It's intentionally, maybe, left unnamed so that we can recognize the power that is held by the others, by the other. This Exodus text is a perhaps transfer of power. Thinking about how specific roles carry major responsibilities. Do not conform, but be transformed. For by grace. I often think that ends with, for by grace you have been saved. Power is amazing, and it's dangerous. Think about the things that have power. It's easier to think about things than people, for me anyway, right? When you put gasoline in a car and you push down with your foot ever so gently, vroom! Right? When you're sitting in a kayak and you use a paddle against the water, you move. Yeah. Have you ever seen a hot air balloon? That little bit of fire fills that balloon and off it goes to new places. Power is amazing and could be scary or dangerous. So to me, it is best paired with wisdom, care, and duty. I think of Luke 12:48. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Sound familiar? Yeah. I think of FDR saying, with great power comes great responsibility, but like you understand, it's actually Spider-Man. If you look it up, you'll find that over the last 200 to 300, 400 years, many people have said something similar. But this one from Luke, chapter 12, comes from this parable in the gospel, reminding us that when you know your gift, your ability, your usefulness, you shall, you must, use it for a way that promotes God and takes care of God's people. There's this freedom, this trust, this empowerment that happened between the midwives and those Hebrew women. They liberated those women. They gave them the power of life by handing them their child alive. They gave them an opportunity to co-create and to sustain what God had offered to them. What an amazing gift. To hold the life that God created and to be one that helps another assist in sustaining life. It says we're not all called to be prophesy. We're not all called to prophesy. We're not all called to lead. We are not all called to be a doctor or a teacher or a lifeguard, but we are all called, gifted. In Romans 12, it says, if your gift is known, you are to use it. I like the plain language version, right? If you know it, you better do it. Lofty, lovely, encouraging. But if we read these texts as empowering, we can see how God wants to work within us and through us. But sometimes I struggle. I wonder if those midwives struggled on exactly how to do whatever they could to honor God, but not to be killed for their work. I think about the people in Jesus' day who weren't quite sure they were following the right way, and I wonder in ancient days what they did when they wondered if they had enough strength. And I think they did what we're encouraged to do, to turn back to books like Isaiah, to look at scriptures like Isaiah 51:6 that says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended." When we struggle, we gain our strength from God. We look up to the hills, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Yeah. As God's people, we carry this part within our soul of the created. It lives in each one of us, and we do better, I think, when it unites us, when our souls talk to each other's souls. Like even in that hidden language piece, right? When we just know, when we recognize that we're blessed with gifts, that we've been chosen by God to live God's word in this world. And for some people, that will mean that you will need to speak up your convictions. And for others, it will mean that you need to teach the stories of life, stories of faith. And for others, it will mean that you do the cooking, the cleaning, or the laundry, and all those behind-the-scenes things, so that those who are called to go out are ready to go. But you've heard all that before. In fact, it's probably one of the three things I share the most. Love's always first. You are loved. But you are called. You are able. So, what difference does it make today? If that's been stated and restated and stated and restated over and over again, what new life, what connection can we have today? How can it help our faith walk? I don't know for each of you what the answer to that is. But here's what I needed to hear in those texts this week. I needed to be reminded that you don't always have to be the named person, the one in the outward leadership role to make a difference. To do something powerful for God, you can be anyone. I needed to be reminded that I don't have to feel badly when I'm not sitting in the front lines or in sackcloth and ashes. That sometimes in that moment, that's not my gift. But that God can still use me. I needed to be reminded that in small increments of sharing God's love, that I can be an agent of change, of transformation. That I don't need to be a superhero or have a superpower because I have a super God. I needed to hear that the midwives did what they could within the bounds of their role. And be reminded that Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He wasn't asked to become Jesus. I needed to hear that Miriam tried, that she took a great risk. And for her, that risk might not have felt so risky because the consequences of not trying were just as grave. I needed to hear that this week. And maybe you do too. But I also needed to hear that I need to hold on to hope, to believe that truth tellers are worth listening to, and that no matter how difficult the message is to understand or sort out, that knowing Jesus, that being an agent of God's creative and life-giving self, is a role that anyone can fill if they are open to it, open to knowing God, and open to letting God work through them. I pray that something this morning has rekindled your soul, that the spirit of gentleness will stir you from placidness, as it does to me, and that in the days to come that you might ponder your responsibility in empowering others to fill God's work in this world, to complete those tasks. Until then, may you know that you are a blessing. Amen.